Well, hello, and welcome to Wild Vittles. I'm your host, Chris Smith. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the five things that you can do in January to help you become a better wild game cook in 2024. So if you're committed this year to try to better yourself, I know that we all are. I really enjoy this time of year of reflecting back over 2023, the things that went right, the things that didn't go so right, and really focused on and have new hope for 2024. And I want to grow. I want to be better. I think you do too. So I have five suggestions that I think will help you become a better wild game cook. Now, I'm really speaking to my audience here. They are hunters and fishermen that have wild game. Fish, fowl, venison, all put up in the freezer somewhere. If you're an aspiring hunter, or maybe you don't have much inventory yet, still this is episodes for you, because take note, these are things you can do in the coming season as you kind of up your game and accumulate inventory of wild game to consume later. So first, step one, take an inventory of your freezer. Really think about what species do you have? What cuts do you have? And probably the most important thing is what year, and even if it's available, what month was that wild game taken? And why do you want to do that? So there's a few reasons. So you can tell we're kind of reflecting here, right? Your utilization over the previous year, if you have a tremendous amount of something in there, it tells you one of two things. Either one, you don't really enjoy that fowl, fish, or deer, or perhaps you didn't have the time to prepare it in the form that it comes. You know, so let's take, for instance, shanks. I had quite a few shanks that were left in my freezer as I did my inventory. That doesn't mean that I don't like them. It means that I didn't on purpose set aside time to be able to cook those in advance. And so much of really doing things well just takes a little intentionality. Be intentional. Prepare. So step one here is look and see what you've got. So I don't care if it's on a piece of paper or if it's on a fancy spreadsheet. Take an inventory. Roughly, doesn't have to be exact, roughly what kinds of meat and fish you have, fowl, what cuts you have, especially for the deer, because that matters for kind of your planning, which will be in future steps, and when. How old is it? Because you need to prioritize some of that older stuff. Step two, while you're going and doing your inventory, drag out some coolers, pull all that stored wild game out and put it in the freezer. And as you've taken the inventory, and if you're putting things back, organize it, prioritize it, and prioritize those older cuts first, the older deer. I mean, all of us, if you've been a longtime deer hunter, it's the rare person or family that has zero of the previous year's deer. Now, I don't mean like a lot, but maybe it's the shanks. That was for me. I had shanks and part of one rib cage left, you know, and I was like, yeah, I didn't know it was there because, you know, it kind of got away from me in my organization. And I didn't make time, if I'd known it, to be able to put that dish in the rotation to prepare for it, to defrost it, to make a plan, right? So hot tip, as you are putting your wild game back in the freezer in an organized fashion, I've tried just stacking in different areas, and you know I have two chest freezers, and they're kind of difficult to organize. But you may have, you know, this may just be your freezer section of your refrigerator, maybe a stand-up refrigerator. Use whatever method you can to be able to organize. Hot tip from me, for especially for chest freezers, I use those recyclable or reusable grocery bags. So you know they're kind of heavier duty plastic. They're relatively inexpensive, and they kind of conform to whatever you put in them. I put like all my ducks in a bag and put it in a certain area in my freezer that I remember. I put all of my sausages that I make. I'll put all of the different kinds of ground meat, because I have ground deer with zero fat. I have ground deer with some fat. I have some ground elk. I have ground sausage, elk sausage. You know, I need to be able to sort that out, because on the surface of just a ground meat bag, they all look the same, although I do have written on it, you know, year, species, whether or not it's sausage, breakfast sausage or not, or what fat. But it's so much easier if you're not sorting through a big pile, if it's in a reusable bag. It could be milk crates. I've done that over the years. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter the how. What it matters is the result that it gives you. And again, take note of what you have and make a decision. Are you going to change the way you're cooking and utilize those cuts, or do you need to make a change in your future decisions? One outcome could be next year when you get your deer or your elk or whatever the case may be. Should you really just leave the roast whole? Should you really leave the shanks whole? Maybe you, for your purpose and your utilization, you should grind those up. And maybe the right thing to do for you. Because really think about it. Because I had this kind of, a healthy intellectual discussion with a friend, because he was like, dude, why are you grinding some of those really good, roasts? I told him, I utilize a lot of ground meat. And I don't always utilize roast. I do keep some roast, but roasts are not big in my rotation, mainly for me, because it takes a long time for the defrosting. And I think all of us live in a bit of a fast-paced life. And quite frankly, I get more versatility out of the ground meat. Now, an argument could be that, well, yeah, but if you keep it as a roast, you can always make it into ground later. And that is true. But the fact of my life is that I don't generally get the grinder out except when I process a deer. So you can also make stew meat out of it too, though. So don't want to let that go. But reflect upon what you have and think about the why. Another one, and this is a little touchy one, is if you have a tremendous amount of something left over, really ask yourself, is it because of the form that it's in? Is it even deeper? Because when I say form, is it like the shanks or the roast or whatever? Or is it something like ducks and you're just not eating them? Why are you not eating them? Do you not enjoy them? And people's ears going to burn. I'm going to get hate on this. But for instance, because ducks are kind of like that. They're kind of, people love them or hate them. If you don't like it, don't go hunting for them, unless you have a great outlet for it. And I'm not against, donation of animals, to the kind of feed the hungry, but I'm very much against waste of animals, essentially going to a freezer to be freezer burned and then later thrown away. There's a lot of competition out there for space, for hunters, for resources. And quite frankly, we can't afford waste in this environment. So, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. If for a year or 2 years, you're continuing to either process your animals a certain way and you're not consuming those cuts, or maybe you're taking a certain kind of game and you're not utilizing it, maybe you need to reassess. There's a lot of great options out there. So a couple food for thought items. So that's number two. Let's go on to number three. Make a plan. I like to make a plan each week. Take that inventory that you've made, and now you have a prioritized freezer. Make a plan for what you're going to cook. You have to plan ahead, unless you're cooking fresh game, like maybe you went duck hunting. I do like ducks. Let's say you went duck hunting and you just plucked a bird and it's still sitting in the fridge. Yeah, you don't have to defrost, and you can kind of do that spur of the moment. But for everything else, and especially outside of the season, you need to think at least a day ahead of time to be able to defrost meat. If it's a roast or something else, it may take 2 days. And if you want to brine that meat, it may take 3 days. So this is, like the rest of hunting and fishing, a serious business. And you need to put some prep into it. So make a plan. Plan for the week. What is your goal as well? As while we're kind of setting off on this 2024, I would challenge you to set a goal personally to consume a wild game meal every week. For me, I like to do 2 to 3 a week. I do think I'm a little bit weird in that way, but if you're serious about this, and if you have a large inventory, you need to be committed to utilize it as well. Now, I have a favorite saying here that from Zig Ziglar is, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. So let's aim at a plan to be able to utilize that wild game. I've said it in previous podcasts, I'll say it again. Average deer, I would wager there's about 40 to 50 pounds of meat yielded from that. And if you do your math, just kind of on averages, it doesn't actually have to happen every week, because sometimes you'll consume more or less. But on average, you need to consume about a pound a week. So are you having a meal every week to be able to utilize that wild game? Because the goal, I don't know about for you, but for me, the goal is for me to utilize the animals that I take fully and be ready for the next season. Now, there's some overlap in there, and I'm not going to hold up my hand and tell you I'd never have anything in my freezer that's over a year old. That would not be true. But I do utilize everything that I have, and I feel horrible if I find something that's at the bottom of that freezer that I'm like, oh, dang, I should have utilized that, and it's really too far gone now. That is the exception. I hope it's the exception for you. Another one, too, that I think stops a lot of people is, you know, the fact that, well, I can't do all this during the week, and then my weekends are really full with my family. I don't have time for this. Well, I would challenge you, if you don't have time for that, you shouldn't be hunting. But you can meal prep. People do this all the time. You can cook some meals that maybe yield the majority of the output for a future meal. What do I mean by that? I just did a barbacoa episode, and it yields tremendously great shredded meat that can be used in tacos and all kinds of other things, you know, enchiladas, whatever the case may be. I take that, I'll freeze it into smaller servings. I will then get it out to make a future meal. And, you know, that could be a weeknight meal. You can pop that bag of vacuum sealed barbacoa meat into a pot and just, you know, boil it for a few minutes, get that, you're not only going to defrost it in a hurry, it's going to then heat it up and you'll be ready to go. You can throw it into a pan to kind of crisp it up or not and throw it into a taco shell with your appropriate, you know, pico or other toppings and bada boom, bada bing, you've got a wild game meal. It's that simple. So it doesn't all have to be that complicated. If I think about the number four item for better cook is a better wild game cook in 2024, try new recipes, try new ingredients, be bold. Don't be afraid of failure. Sometimes I get a little bit worried about, well, if I'm going to try a new recipe, it may not turn out. And I worry about that because I don't generally do like a trial run before I actually serve it to people. And it may just be not that great. It happens. And this is really the process of learning. You know, and it doesn't just happen with wild game. I was making homemade from scratch biscuits yesterday, and I burned the bottoms because I didn't have the racks set at the appropriate height. I am not a great baker, but I'm trying and I'm learning. So I would just say, you know, don't be afraid to fail. Be bold, try new things. I would also remind people, and I think people know this if you really were confronted with it, you don't have to have a wild game recipe for wild game. Many of the recipes that I depend upon are actually for beef, for pork, for chicken. You just need to recognize the qualities the wild game meat has and be sensitive to those. And often the most sensitive ones is the leanness of the meat, not the taste, the leanness. So in some situations, maybe you'll select recipes that don't require fat. In other situations, maybe you can compensate for that lack of fat. If it's a burger recipe, I mean ground meat, you can incorporate some fat like we did earlier in the burger episode where I cut up very finely bacon fat and put that into the mix. There are other recipes that don't require it. Or maybe you put some extra butter or some oil to be able to compensate for that. Maybe some additional broth to moisten it up because it can be dry without the fat. All of these things can be remedied. It's a trial and error. If it takes a little patience, it takes some adventurousness. You have to be adventurous to be able to try some of these things. Be bold. And then lastly, and this is a very bold statement as well, recognize, I would hope that everybody reflects upon this, recognize that wild game cooking is as important as all of the activities leading up to that, all of the hunting and the fishing. So what do I mean? All of the practice that we do. I mean, I shoot my bow year-round, practicing for one opportunity on an elk, for an opportunity on a deer. All of the gear selection that we do, all of the camo selection, making sure everything's perfect, all the e-scouting, all the exercising to make sure that you're in shape for these backcountry hunts, all of the really actually getting out there and doing it, and climbing those mountains, or going in the backwoods, or sitting in a tree stand for hours upon hours to get that opportunity, and you finally make that shot, and you get that buck or that bull, or you catch a tremendously great set of fish. It's all about that, but that is only half of the equation. The other half of the equation is caring for that wild game, properly field dressing, properly processing it. Either you do it, or you have a trained professional do it as a processor, making the decision to get those cuts put into certain kinds of cuts, ground meat, steaks, shanks, whatever the case may be, roasts. And then I would say the most important part is being mindful, focused on the back half of utilizing that wild game and ensuring that you took all this time to get that deer. And what are you going to do from, let's say you got it in October, November, what are you going to do from December all the way to September of the next year? Is it going to sit in that freezer? Is it going to see the light of day? Or are you going to get it out and thoughtfully utilize it throughout the year? For me, it is really my favorite part of it. I would say equally my favorite part of the entire process. I really enjoy planning ahead. Am I going to do shanks this week? Maybe I'll do some stew. It's cold weather coming. Maybe I could do some soups during the summer, grilling season. Maybe I'll do some steaks. Maybe I'll do some kebabs. If you're not thinking like this, you're really missing out. Now, I realize not everybody has time for this. People are busy. But you don't have to make everything complex either. You can be very focused. And maybe that goes at the very beginning of your process and you're like, dude, I'm going to do a lot of ground meat. And there are going to be people that are going to shame you on that. You ground up good steaks, good roasts. Hey, it's kind of like shooting a spike, and you be happy with your deer does not mean just the antlers. It also means how you process it and how you consume it. And if you fully utilize that deer, you are leagues ahead of the guy that carefully had everything staked and roasted out and then hasn't eaten but maybe 10, 15% of his deer by the end of the year. So, challenge for 2024. We'll have a quick recap here because I like recaps. So, take inventory of your freezer. What do you have in there? In your vault of your wild game. Organize and prioritize your vault so that when the time comes, you know where things are and you know what you have. Make a plan. Don't aim at nothing. Make a plan and plan ahead to be able to utilize that wild game. Enjoy it. You worked hard for it. Be adventurous. Be bold. Try new recipes. Try new flavors. If, you know, you have a lot of, I'll go back to ducks. If you have a lot of ducks, maybe it's just that you haven't been cooking them in the way that you would enjoy them. Maybe you've been concerned, I'll say afraid, to do them improperly. You need to overcome that. You need to test yourself. You know, maybe I'll throw myself out there. I didn't like duck early in my hunting career because I overcooked it. Duck does not do well to be well done. It needs to be kind of a medium rare. And there's a balance there because I also like to make sure that everything is cooked thoroughly enough that I don't worry about any, you know, foodborne pathogens and things like that. You've got to find a comfort level that you're good to go on that. So be bold, be adventurous. Also look outside the bounds of what I would say are traditional wild game cooking cookbooks. Look at, you know, the Betty Crocker book, you know, look at any old chef that you like. There's so many resources out there. Give it a try. And then finally, recognize the importance of what you're doing. Part of my goal in this podcast is just reduced wild game waste to make gamey cool and to help people really realize the importance of the wild game cooking as a total package of hunting and fishing. I think it'll make us all better conservationists and more focused really on the complete circle as we realize that it's a finite resource. Just like our time, there's only so much out there in the environment. We need to work together to share that. And I think that your focus on what you're doing with the proceeds from your hunting and fishing, how you're consuming it, how you're utilizing it, will make you a more mindful hunter and sportsman, make you a better conservationist in the future. So with that, I wish you all a fantastic 2024. Thank you very much for your time and attention, and look forward to talking to you in the future. So with that, let's do it all for the wild game, and Let's all be better Wild Game cooks. Thank you.
It's over.
Well, bye.